Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Gears has started talking about crimes, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna hold off on pressing the record.
I didn't mention crime at all.
Actually, that's true. James said the word crimes, and
James
is the one
that brought up doing crimes. I would never talk about doing crimes. Oh, welcome to It Could Happen Here, where we never talk about anything illegal. With us today is myself, Garrison, James Stout, and Mia Wong.
That's right. We are talking about crimes today, actually, but we're not doing any crimes, crucially, because we never would.
Yeah, for example, well, actually, I don't know if it's technically illegal to talk about jury nullification on air. I don't think they can stop you from saying the words. I think they can. I think you don't have the right to do it, but you have the ability, I think, is the way a lawyer explained it to me. But they also said, I'm not your lawyer before that, so take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably said you shouldn't be describing how to do jury notification or Googling it if that's in your future.
Stay tuned for our upcoming episode, how to nullify yourself.
How to nullify your jury. Yeah. How to nullify your jury. That will be our final episode. Okay, we're not talking about jury duty today. We are talking about crime. The people doing the crime in this episode, shockingly, are the cops. So I want to start on October 28th, 2016. Some of you can probably cast your mind back then, the last week of the pre-Trump era.
Yeah.
So inside the captain's office at the sheriff's station in Rancho San Diego, one of the most expensive zip codes in the country, Captain Marco Garmo was making a deal. Garmo, along with Giovanni Tilotta, who's a licensed San Diego gun dealer, sold a Glock handgun, an AR-15 style rifle, and a Smith & Wesson handgun to local defense attorney Vikas Bajaj inside Garmo's office. Garmo coordinated backdated paperwork to avoid the 10-day waiting period required by California law for handgun purchases, and supplied Bajaj with misappropriated San Diego Sheriff's Department issued ammunition.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, good times. Good times. I'm, yeah, so he's really thriving in his side hustle here, Marco Garmo. I've used the word misappropriated because that's what the DOJ used. I'm guessing the more vernacular term would be stolen here. I think he's...
So when you say issued, is this ammo that like was supposed to be given to a cop, or is this stuff they had an impound?
No, I think it's supposed to be given to a cop. I think
hell yeah.
I think he's good. I think he's gone into the armory and just grabbed a few boxes of ammo and stole them.
Your cops have just turned into the Afghan army. It's amazing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The ANA. They've got the what's that guy who had the like how he had the like night vision on backwards or something. That was the Taliban guy. Yeah. Interestingly, what they have in the compound, Mia, is another story that maybe we should do another day. I also PRA'd that, like the weapons that are impounded. Jesus Christ, they have some shit. Like they have like a full auto shotgun, a bunch of NFA items, and they keep them all for like lab testing in theory, like uh-huh. so they can be like, oh, well, this person was shot. What does that wound look like? Well, let's get our armory out from the fucking and shoot some ballistics gel and see if that helps us.
It's NFA? Like that Sorry. Scene from 2008's The Dark Knight where Christian Bale as Batman fires a ridiculously loud gun in a sealed bunker, absolutely destroying both his and Alfred's hearing for the entire rest of the movie, which is why they make so many bad choices.
Fascinating, yeah. I didn't know there was a character called Alfred in Batman.
Yeah.
They really welched him on the names, because, like, Batman is a cool name, the Joker, cool
Wait,
name.
Did
fucking
you,
Alfred.
Did you not know about Alfred?
Do you not know who Alfred Pennyworth is?
No!
He's the one British character in Batman. He is your culture. When people think of British people, yeah. They think of Alfred J. Pennyworth.
No, my wow. culture is not a costume, Garrison.
Well, I have bad news.
Okay. No, they... disgusted that this is the point of reference, not one of our many wonderful modern British role models.
Alfred's great. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay.
He is a working class hero. He was a. Wait. Our butlers are working class, right?
Oh, God.
let's cut this discourse off very quickly.
I would say petty bourgeois, but.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated because you're like working directly for a billionaire and you're living in the billionaire's house and you're living a very upper class life, but you still are working. Yeah. It's kind of complicated.
What is your relationship to the means of production, though?
Wow.
Well, but it's all service. Like, I don't know. I feel like we have to do a divide here between, like, because I think the gender division of labor between maid and butler is very important.
I love that we're debating how if Alfred is based or not. Based on-
yeah, yeah. So you can find Garrison on Twitter at I write okay. All right, so okay. We've made it to paragraph two, everyone. In February 2019, federal agents executed a search warrant at the Rancho San Diego Sheriff's Station. Later that year, they arrested Captain Marco Garmo. In 2021, Garmo pleaded guilty to trafficking over 100 guns which were deemed unsafe for civilians. At his sentence, I shouldn't say civilians because cops are also civilians, right? But non-cops. At his sentencing, the judge said Garmo was almost becoming a mob boss of sorts. What you want to strive for as a sheriff's captain. Garmo admitted to engaging in straw purchases, which is buying guns with the intent of transferring them to someone else. He also acknowledged tipping off an illegal marijuana dispensary that was about to be searched in order to
be based. Yeah. Come on.
Nothing this guy did is inherently wrong. It's the fact that he only did it to certain people. So that was his cousin who owned the marijuana dispensary. He was also engaged in illegal consulting with other dispensaries, which I don't fully understand. Yeah, I'm guessing his consulting emerged to being like, hey, the cops are on their way tomorrow. Maybe stop being a dispensary by the time they arrive.
Yeah, that seems like that seems like a very classic the cops take a cut kind of arrangement that they're calling consultancy.
Yeah, I guess so.
A lot of the things in this DOJ thing are like really fantastically phrased. So Garmo and his co-defendant Wael Will Anton also helped paying clients skip the waiting list for a difficult to obtain concealed carry permit. As part of this scheme, Anton took a legal cash payment to a county clerk, who ensured favorable treatment for his clients. Garmo might have flown a little too close to the sun with this one, but it's not actually that unusual for gun laws to have carve-outs for rich people. Often those carve-outs don't involve cops stealing ammo, but it's pretty easy if you're wealthy enough to work your way around firearms legislation, which is kind of what I want to get into today. So while Garmo did go to jail for gun trafficking and multiple other crimes he was doing, the sale of so-called off-roster firearms by law enforcement officers in California is relatively common, and there's not much that's been done to prevent it since Garmo was arrested. So to understand this, I think you have to understand California's incredibly complicated firearms laws, which probably requires like an undergraduate degree. But to give a brief summary, California introduced its gun roster in 2001. And like many of our laws, it has its roots in entrenching systemic inequalities. In this case, legislators were trying to ban something called a Saturday night special. And do people know what that is?
No.
It's a small, concealable, affordable handgun. It's like there were these guns that came out in like the 80s and 90s that were like super small, very cheap, very simple, very concealable. And
are they also shit?
Well, that's the thing, right? So this is really fascinating. So in practice, right, these were at least culturally associated with like black communities, right? That's you see them in sometimes like. Certainly, like there was a stigmatic reference to like, it's these guns that is causing violence and we're not going to fucking look at inequality at all, right? We're just going to ban the guns. Are they shit is an interesting question, because California introduces legislation which said that handguns had to be drop safe. So that means you can drop them and they can't go off. That is generally a desirable feature in a handgun. Yeah. Able to fire 600 rounds without more than six malfunctions, and have a manual safety device. Later on, they added another thing that would make the gun only fire when it had a magazine inserted. And they put all these rules in place and had said manufacturers had to submit guns for testing. All the guns they were going after passed the testing. So I guess they're not as shit as one has suspected, which is kind of like that is the intent. They are laboring under that misapprehension, but it seems like these guns, which are very cheap, actually pass the testing just fine. So if you look at the California roster, so once those guns have passed that testing, right, they go on a roster. And that roster, like, it's done by SKU, so, like, by the individual code that's given to the gun. And you can look up the California roster. It's online still. And, like, there are hundreds of cheap, small handguns that are on it. So they failed in that regard. But they created this kind of bizarre system where most manufacturers had to make a California-compliant model if they wanted to sell in California, right? Because it had to have a this magazine disconnect, which means that the gun won't fire without the magazine in it, which is not a usual thing for semi-automatic handguns to have. Like, if you are outside of California and you have, like, a normal, like a Glock, for instance, it doesn't have that, but you would need one that did in California. So that means that these guns are going to have a much, much smaller economy of scale, right? They're going to be more expensive. Manufacturers also have to pay for the testing and submit three models. So what it de facto means is that fewer guns are available in California. But it doesn't really become a big issue until 2013, when the DOJ in California add a micro-stamping requirement. But they added it earlier, actually, but in 2013, they certified it was possible for micro-stamping to happen.
Wait, sorry, can I ask something? But so is the roster the list of guns you're allowed to buy?
Yes.
Okay.
And if it doesn't appear on the roster, we're going to get into that. You can actually buy it, but you can't buy it new from a store. So you can buy it used. And there are two ways that these used handguns can enter the state, right? One of them is if you move to the state. So let's say Garrison moves to LA, right? And they bring with them.
Horrifying.
Yeah, just to enjoy.
Just like a Vulcan minigun.
Yeah, they bring with them an M1 Abrams tank.
Yeah, it's our balloon shooting gun.
Yeah, everyone on the West Coast has to have one now. So it's actually different for rifles, sadly, but they bring with them pistols, and those pistols are not on the California roster. They can keep them, and they can sell them, right, to a California resident. The other way that these guns can enter and be sold is cops are exempt from the roster, right? So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And when I say cops, I am speaking in the broadest possible terms, because a variety of peace officers are exempt, to include employees of the California State Horse Racing Board.
So I'm saying park rangers can do this, right?
I think it depends what you are within the park ranger. And it seems to be... there is actually a list that's in the legislation, but it seems to be largely like at the discretion of the gun shop. Like, in practice, they could get in trouble, but like, I've heard of like firefighters and EMTs being able to purchase off roster guns, which is fucking not in the legislation. Like, it is also kind of funny, but like, in theory, it would depend on like what unit you were in, or they could contact your like park ranger office and be like, hey, This girl is trying to buy a gun. Like, does she use this at work? Because the idea is that they would have the most up-to-date weapons to carry at work, right? Or that they could buy themselves, even though they get issued guns. So like, if you need a gun as a cop, you get issued a gun, right? So what it means in practice is that there's a thriving market in off-roster firearms, but there's also a massive price premium, right? They often sell for 2 or 3 times their MSRP, even though they're used. And I did a little digging into this, and I looked at one particular item, which was a P365, a SIG P365, which is a fairly like a popular pistol, right? But after 2013, California didn't allow any new guns to be added to the roster unless they micro-stamp their bullets. Micro-stamping is a little feature where the firing pin of the gun stamps the casing, not the bullet, with a little tiny stamp, which is unique to the gun, right? Or it stamps it with the serial number of the gun. So in theory, this would allow you to pick up the casings at a murder scene and be like, huh, well, they were fired from this gun, and this gun is registered to this person, therefore we got someone to talk to, right?
Pick up the casings.
Yeah, absolutely no ways around this.
Although, I mean, admittedly, the one thing I've learned over the years is that people are really lazy when they're doing crimes. And
so true.
You could be slightly less lazy and get caught significantly less.
That is my biggest advice to the illegalists. Literally think 5 minutes beforehand.
Yeah. Also, don't tweet your crimes.
Evergreen statement.
Yeah. It's one of our mottos here. You could also just use a revolver, I guess, and that wouldn't eject the casings. But because there are no guns, so in 2013, right, the DOJ says you are not allowed to add a gun to the roster unless it micro stamps. And we've decided that micro-stamping is possible. No firearms manufacturer will make a gun that micro-stamps, because other states will require all guns to micro-stamp once that technology is available. So they just don't do it. Yeah, it is very funny. It's like the car companies just being like, fucking, you know what? If we put airbags in that bad boy, they're going to make us put airbags in all the cars.
You know, this is a thing that I've run into a lot. I think is really interesting, which is like, okay, the specific combination of regulatory state and corporations being required to do a thing gives you a bunch of really, really weird like outcomes that are like not what you would expect when you're writing the legislation, which makes them ineffective. Like, I mean, the most famous one is like the Clean Air Act actually worsened air quality for a huge amount of time because they put in this exception for like existing coal facilities under the assumption that people would just like, you know, build new coal facilities and thus have better like cleaner technology. And no one ever did. They just left these old coal facilities running. Or the other one, like everyone always talks about why the giant SUVs keep getting bigger. And the reason for that is actually, I mean, it kind of is sort of fascist psychosis, but like the actual reason for that is Obama era pollution controls on cars, right? Had these fuel emission standards, but the larger your car is, like the worse the fuel emission standards are. So they keep, in order to get around the fuel emission things, they just keep making bigger cars.
Make it bigger. Amazing.
Yeah. And this shit just like, I don't know. This is, I think, a pretty good argument against a sort of regulatory state being able to contain like capitalism doing horrifying shit. Is like every single time someone tries to make an air pollution thing, it just makes it worse.
Yeah, they just create perverse incentives to do something which is like just stupid and polluting as opposed to
yeah. Or they polluting. Just don't comply. Like it was with the microscanner yeah. thing. You're just like, no, like yeah. this. Like yeah. you simply will not.
Yeah. The specific interaction of like people who elevate themselves, who make it to the California legislature on one hand and gun companies on the other hand, just leads to this complete intransigence where like anytime a law is written, it is like someone has found an end run or a loophole before it comes into practice. Do you know what won't illegally smuggle or legally smuggle guns into California and sell them for 2 to 3 times a retail price, Mir?
Is it all the firms that are doing child trafficking? And
that's right, the Washington State Highway Patrol.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back, and we're talking about cops selling guns for a lot of money in Southern California. So, big Marco Gama wasn't the only cop who chose a life of crime, as it turns out.
Because every other one did.
Shockingly enough, this practice is pretty common. So a Gardena police officer in 2021 was also convicted of making 41 illegal off-roster sales in a year. And at least 6 LA officers have been found to be engaged in illegal firearms transfers, according to a 2021 LA Times investigation. So that's 8 in a single year, if you're keeping track. And it's pretty common to see people like posting about this. If you go on to like the California Guns Forum, where people will be like, where they sell guns, right? Where you don't actually sell the guns on the internet, because that's illegal, but people will post it and then say, meet me at this gun dealer and we'll do the background check. And you'll see people being like, oh, like I'm LEO. I have a friend who's LEO and like happened to be selling this gun new in package. I bought it to carry it on patrol, but I decided I didn't like it. You know, like that's the theoretical canard here, right?
Oh, God. Okay, the thing this reminds me of specifically is a very, very weird use case of like people in Magic the Gathering tournaments where you're not legally allowed to both draw and split the prize money. So you have to say this incredibly complicated series of sentences where you're like, I want to draw and then new conversation. Can we split the prize money? It's like, I have to like say this exact series of words in order to make it clear that I'm not doing exactly what I'm doing and breaking the law.
Yeah. This is how the law works, right? Like, it always ends up being some kind of like totemistic magic incantation that you can say. And then the thing that they're trying to fucking stop obviously no longer applies to you and you can do what you want. Like, It's incredibly asinine. So in mid-2021, I wanted to get a sense, right, when I was doing this, of how many of these off-roster guns there are in California, to get a sense of like exactly how much of a farce the attempt to create this roster has been. So I've been going after this for a while, but in the middle of 2021, there was an assembly bill passed called Assembly Bill 2699, if you're interested. And the bill required the Department of Justice to send a letter to owners of off-roster weapons, which California officially calls unsafe handguns, to remind the people who own them of the laws surrounding them and to whom they could transfer them, right? I first became aware of this letter because someone decided to post it online. And that kind of gave me an opening where... because I can't PRA the names of the people who own the guns, right? Or even where they live, because obviously that's protected information and it probably should be. And I don't think that information is even actually stored by the state. But I can PRA the letters they sent out. So PRA is a Public Records Act request, right? It's what people might know as a FOIA. And so I did that. And it took me more than a year. And it cost me more than $100. But eventually I managed to get the DOJ to send me the information, which showed that at least at the time I got it, which is the middle of 2021, 4,510 firearms have been obtained by the subsection of the law that allows exemptions for police officers. There are some other exemptions for like antique and collectible firearms as well. So it's not clear that all of those were cops. They also noted that it had sent 213,804 notices to the owners of off-roster weapons, which... Yeah, it suggests that, like, if we think of that, the roster became a serious issue in 2013, right? So that suggested about 10,000 weapons a year since the roster began in 2001 have entered the state that are off roster, which kind of makes the point that it's a rather farcical attempt at gun control, right? But it still is. That the roster, which I don't think you're fine, right? You can buy a very effective gun in California, like as we have seen, like they're very effective at killing people. But it does kind of make it a joke that if you have enough money or a friend who's a cop, then this doesn't apply to you, right? Then you've over 200,000 of these guns, which are supposed to be like banned in circulation as long as you're wealthy enough to buy them. I tried also to PRA if any of these guns have been involved in crime or murder, and they wouldn't tell me that. And it's always worth pointing out that like the cops themselves are issued guns which are illegal for civilians to purchase, right? Or it's not possible for them to purchase them new, I should say. The off-roster guns are issued to the cops, right? So by definition, some of these guns have been used in the accidental shooting of bystanders, shooting of officers by themselves, and shooting of officers by other officers that have occurred in California since the roster began. And so, but sort of by definition, off-roster guns have killed some people. So this isn't actually the only way that being wealthy can get you around gun laws. And I want to go a little further east for my next example. I want to go, in fact, to a little town called Lake Arthur in New Mexico. Benny, are you guys familiar with this part of the world?
Not that specific. I lived in New Mexico very, very briefly when I was a small child, but not there. So,
I've been using Google Street View. That's my dive deep. It appears to be the back arsehole of nowhere. And in Lake Arthur, they have one cop who, it turns out, was a volunteer and was being paid $1 a year. Yeah, so this is where the problem starts. This guy is called William Norwood, and I'll issue a spoiler here that William Norwood is no longer a cop, nor does the department exist. And that's because Norwood was running a scam that took advantage of something called LEOSA. LEOSA is the Law Enforcement Officers Safety Act. And what the Law Enforcement Officers Safety Act does is allow cops from any state in the union to conceal carry a gun in every state in the union. So this was a big deal. Yeah, I think you might be able to see where this is going. This was a big deal before the Supreme Court Bruin decision, right? The Bruin decision was the one that significantly reduced the impediments in between you and getting a concealed carry weapons permit. It didn't totally remove them, and it didn't make it any less expensive, and California seems to be going about trying to make it even more expensive, which is bullshit. Like, everyone should have the same rights, regardless of how wealthy they are. But if you were covered by LEOSA, right, if you're a law enforcement officer, you could conceal carry anywhere. So this is very desirable for some people. One of those people is Robert Mercer. Do you guys remember Robert Mercer?
No, I do not.
Okay, so Mercer is a big-time Donald Trump appreciator.
Oh, yeah, he's that, like, super rich guy. Yeah.
The Breitbart guy, the Cambridge Analytica guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this guy is rolling in it. And he actually hosted like a success party soon after the 2016 election. This guy is definitely pivotal to the whole Trump scene, right? Like his bankrolling of Breitbart, Cambridge Analytica. He, as it turns out, is also a cop in this little New Mexico town, which is kind of weird, right? Especially when you consider that 150 other people are also cops in this New Mexico town.
Oh, it's one of these scams.
Yep. So that's one cop for every 2.9 residents.
Jesus.
Yeah. And turns out they're probably not doing much copping, but they are doing at least a certain amount of volunteering. It's actually unclear how much. So the Lake Arthur treasurer was... Bloomberg did some PRAs around this, and it turns out that Mercer was what's called an honoree member of the police department, but there are no records to indicate they actually did any policing. But nonetheless, he took advantage of LEOSA, right? And thus carried in all 50 states.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
So these jurisdictions, there are several of them. Another famous person who's taken advantage of this is a friend of the podcast, Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Seagal, who apparently has been a volunteer cop for a very long time and actually was doing some copping according to a reality TV show he made called Steven Seagal Lawman.
You know, the thing about that show, right, is it's like...
Are you going to come out and defend the show? Are you pro the show, really?
Here's my thing on this show, right? Like, obviously Seagal's doing stuff that's really messed up, but it's also unclear to me how much worse what he was doing is than the average cop. Probably what he's doing is worse than the average cop, but I don't think it's like... I don't think it's as bad as like a Chicago Special Operations Unit.
It's wow, like, I can't believe you just came out in defense of Steven Seagal.
Being a cop, specifically.
He has work to do to reach, like, the true upper echelon of, like,
I don't
really
know,
shitty cops. He, like...
This is a man who gave his time freely to volunteer for Joe Arpaio.
This level of apologism coming from you right now is simply shocking. I don't know how to deal with this. this Seagal apologism.
Seagalogism.
Seagalogism. Yeah.
That is what I was working my way towards, but I couldn't finish it.
Thank you for delivering the coup de grace. Yeah. Mia coming out with the some cops are bastards take. Scab. Okay, so what is Garrison's deceased? they've died. Okay, so these badge factories, like the ones in Lake Arthur, generally trade influence, cash, or connections for a badge and the right to carry a gun nationwide. Mercer and his son-in-law George Wells have supported the town generously. Mercer's kind of the best investigated example of this, right? Because Bloomberg went after him. Bloomberg, the publication, not Bloomberg, the dude.
He went down there personally to sort this one out.
Yeah.
Nothing's getting past old Bloomberg.
He formed an alliance with, apparently at one point this police department did do a raid on a meth house. And I would love to see like Bloomberg forming alliance with the meth dealers of Lake Arthur to fucking take on Mercer. So
if Bloomberg can take on 9/11 single-handedly, surely he can bust up whatever operations going down in New Mexico.
150 Steven Seagals. Would you rather fight one Bloomberg-sized Steven Seagal?
and don't bother messaging Bloomberg's. Do not bother messaging me. I know he wasn't the mayor during 9/11. That was the joke. Don't bother messaging me. I already know. Thank you.
No. Send it to at I Write OK.
Garrison's Twitter again, at I Write OK. He also famously dropped Staten Island Phil Bloomberg. You guys don't know about Staten Island Phil.
I have not at all.
No, okay, Staten Island Phil is a groundhog. This will be in a Bastards episode as well. So it's a second mention of Staten Island Phil for some people. Staten Island Phil is a groundhog, similar to Puxatawny Phil. He lives in Staten Island.
It's
and
a lesser
unfortunately,
Phil.
Yeah. Whoa, would we say that?
Yes.
Second, pretty disgusting take from Mia, anti Staten Island.
This is my Mia gets canceled episode.
Yeah.
Going back in time and getting rid of the Yankees, things of this nature.
Unfortunately, Bill de Blasio dropped the groundhog on its head and it died.
What? And,
Bill de Blasio blames the groundhog for its reduced popularity.
Everyone who's been the mayor of New York is such a
weird type of
unhinged.
Yeah. It's true.
Like fucking the current mayor just went on like TV today and talked about how he has this magic sponge so that he can absorb despair and wring the despair out.
What the fuck?
I'm so sick. The only thing I saw out of New York was the whole like there shouldn't be any separation of church and state. That is so much funnier.
He's doing a sham wow for sadness in New York.
It's wild.
Oh, what a place. What a town. All right, so if you're wondering how much it costs for Mercer and his son-in-law to carry guns everywhere, they paid at least $93,000 to set up this thing called the Southeast New Mexico Police Reserve Foundation, which you know is doing the valuable work of supporting reserve cops in Southeast New Mexico, because they are the thin blue line between us and people not being able to buy concealed carry permits in all 50 states, I guess. Under its bylaws, at least half the foundation's net dues were required to be paid to police departments whose reservists were members of the foundation. At the time of its founding, all of the members were Lake Arthur reservists. So just a good public benefit probably. Just money going around in circles. He also paid for Lake Arthur officers to get SWAT training in Vegas. Again, there is only one full-time cop, and he's a volunteer. So some of the lads went to Vegas, I guess, and this was a donation that was probably tax deductible. The way that this came out is when a quote-unquote firearms expert from North Carolina got drunk and shot his brother-in-law in the leg. And people were great. Like, why were you carrying, bro? Like, you're a cop? And from there, things began to unwind. A lot of the other clients for this place are people like bodyguards. They were clients. Cops, volunteer officers, I should say. They're people who do close protection for wealthy folks, right? And carry guns as part of that work. And I'm guessing it's their employers who are making these significant donations to Lake Arthur that probably allowed these people to be reserve officers, which allowed them to carry in all 50 states, which in turn allowed them to protect these wealthy people, right? So it's another, and like, it's important to understand that, like, New York, for instance, declined before, this is before the Bruin decision, a concealed carry permit applicant from like an FBI informant who had taken down a biker gang. They were like, no, you don't need to carry a gun. Like, it was almost impossible for people, even if they were like helping the cops, to get concealed carry permits in some parts of the United States. And like, in California was very hard, lots of places before Bruin. Like, I think, was it Nancy Pelosi had a concealed carry permit, or Feinstein, or someone?
Okay, this is the whole thing. Okay, so this was Feinstein. The one of the other scams for this is you can get deputized as a federal marshal. And so there's like a bunch, like Feinstein's rumored to have done. There's like a bunch of like California, like Congress people have done this. That like they get deputized as marshals, and so they can do this shit.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff. Yeah, I guess what I want to come back to is that, like, all of these laws, right, all of these gun control laws are circumventable if you have enough money, right? Yeah. So if you want a nice brand new gun that doesn't micro stamp, it doesn't have the magazine disconnect, and like modern carry guns especially are a lot nicer than they were in 2013, right? They're smaller, they have a higher capacity, you can put a little red dot sight on them if you want to, if you want one of those things, you can have it in California as long as you're rich. And if you're not, then you can't. The same applies with this 50-state carry, right? If you want to carry a gun all around the country, and even now with Bruin, states are not required to recognize each other's concealed carry permits, right? So I have a concealed carry permit in California. It's not recognized by any other states because California doesn't recognize any other states' carry permits. So... I can apply for one in Arizona that costs me more money. But if you want to carry in all 50 states, you can just make this donation to the cops, right? You can, almost all of these things, right? These aren't the only examples. Rick Mia cited the federal marshal thing. Another one is the NFA, right? The National Firearms Act. Yeah, Act. Which, like, essentially, it's not illegal to have a suppressor. It's not illegal to have a short-barreled rifle. It's not illegal to have a machine gun, actually. You just have to spend a shit ton of money to get one, which Mercer has a collection of machine guns, I guess. So all of these things, it's great. It's fine. It's great that we live in a country with two tiers of rights for people.
Those machine guns are totally going to be used for normal, completely normal things. out of the armory in 20 years.
A totally normal guy who will use them for normal stuff. And just, I'm sure, likes to like make holes in paper with his friends. And it's not problematic at all that, like, to be as rich as this guy is, you have to be a problematic dude. And maybe those are the people who shouldn't be having guns.
Yeah.
But instead, it's going to be poor people who can't be having guns. And like, I think regardless of what you and it's perfectly reasonable to think that like there should be fewer guns in this country. It's perfectly reasonable to believe that, and I think like it's perfectly reasonable to think like, what the fuck should we do about the fact that kids get shot in schools? That's not an unreasonable stance at all. But if the way around it is saying, well, only rich people get to shoot people, then that's not really a solution. Like it's just yeah. kind of the appearance of one, and I don't think any of us, certainly if we're on the left, should really support that. And yeah, that's where we are in California, which is great.
Yay.
So that's about all we've got on this. If people are interested in seeing more about either the Mercer case or the public records I have, we'll put them all up on our sources page. You can find our sources page on the It Could Happen Here website, and we put all our sources up there for all our episodes. So yeah, go check that out. Anything else to finish off with, guys?
The cops having guns, bad cops being cops, bad cops, bad?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, what about Steven Seagal, though, Mir? This is a dramatic change of form from your earlier stance.
Look, I only ever argued that he was slightly more violent than a normal cop. That was the extent of my argument. He is only slightly more violent than a regular cop.
She is flip-flopping on the some cops about issue. Again, wow. You can send me your opinions on the police. She's on Twitter at IWriteOK.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises we never can predict. What's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft?
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.